Good evening. This is Rabbi Yaakov Fish here after a long hiatus from my podcast break. I'm back on with the title, once again, Let There Be Light. When I originally started the podcast, I identified this title because I felt it was really important to uncover the light amongst great darkness. But I never imagined, as I'm sure everybody here listening imagined, the darkness that we'd be experiencing today. With that being said, here we are in the year 2020, 5780, just a couple weeks before the joyous holiday of Pesach, of Passover, and we are confronted with this tsunami that we are struggling to just to cope. And I'm not even talking about the people that are seriously ill, the people that are mildly ill, the people whose family members have passed away from this illness, but it's really affecting everyone. I can't imagine there's one person out there that hasn't been affected by this. I mean, right now it's on 6 out of 7 continents. The only continent in the world which the coronavirus has not yet penetrated, to my knowledge, is Antarctica. And I'm sure we'll get there. We have currently nearly 2 billion people at home. 2 billion people at home, and they can't go to work, and the economic cost of that is just staggering, which nobody really knows the price of. So I'm not here to talk about the public health angle, which is, although that it's of extreme importance, and please have in mind in your prayers, thoughts and prayers, all the people that are ill, and having in your mind and your thoughts and prayers our communities, that they should be safe, and all over the world, not only around the corner, but around the world. And not only having your thoughts and prayers, the economic stability of our modern society, which is being challenged like never before, but I'm specifically talking tonight about the challenge that we as people of faith, we are experiencing now, because we believe in God. We believe not only God is a creator of the world, but we believe that he manages daily affairs, and we're struggling to reconcile that with this very harsh reality that we are confronted with. So how do we as people, you know, make that reconciliation? I believe in a sense the famous 5 levels of grief are applicable to many of us, and some of us perhaps are experiencing a bit of the 5 levels, you know, all at once, or, you know, one day this level, one day that level. And just to mention the 5 levels of grief, the first level is denial. Denial is, you know, we are saying, I can't believe this is happening. This feels like a science fiction movie. This is 2020. Why is there arguments over toilet paper in the grocery stores? And then there's the second level, which of course is happening, and that is anger. People are upset. People are looking to blame. People are looking to blame China, the federal government, the state government, people here, people there, people in quarantine, people out of quarantine. There's a lot of anger, or there's anger towards God. Why is this happening? That's the second level of grief. And then there is bargaining. We bargain with our close family members. You do this. You go out this time. I'll go out that time. We bargain with God. I'll do this mitzvah. You protect us. There's a lot of bargaining happening, meaning that we're not really understanding the full reality. And then, of course, the fourth level, which I think affects us in a very compelling way, unfortunately, and that is depression. You know, we are depressed as a society when we begin to internalize and to fathom the catastrophic consequences of what is occurring. You know, there's a lot of, if we begin to scratch the surface of what we're talking about with this pandemic, it's just depressing. And finally, the last level of grief is acceptance. Ah, this is what the situation is. What can I do? This is regardless if somebody believes in God, doesn't believe in God, you know, this is the situation, this is the situation that we're in. But I want to specifically talk about, as I mentioned before, as people of faith, we're being challenged. We're being challenged with this tsunami. Because how can we reconcile, as I said before, you know, a good God who is loving and kind, and he's compassionate, and he's benevolent. How can we can reconcile that with the reality that's occurring? And of course, we have to remind ourselves that we live in intensifying times of Hester Punim, God's concealed face. There are things that occurred which we don't know why. We don't know the reason why God has decreed this or he has put this into action. And in case you feel if that leaves you a little bit unfulfilled, which I would understand, please know that Moses himself, you know, was confronted with this when he prayed to God and he said in the book of Exodus, in the book of Shemos, Sefer Shemos, Hareni nas kvodecha, show me your glory. I mean, he wanted to go ahead and understand God's hand in the world. And God said there are certain things which are beyond the comprehension of a human being in this world. Meaning there's certain things that a human being cannot grasp. I mean, how can a finite being understand the infinite? And that's not an easy thing to accept. But that's what faith is about. Because if we understood everything with faith, you know, then it wouldn't be faith. It would be like an ice cream store. Yeah, I'll take the brownie sundae with you know, with double whipped cream and two cherries on top. Instead, if we understood every single reason why everything occurring, then that wouldn't be faith. Part of faith means that we don't understand everything, and not to say that we should be content with this state of Hester Punim. In fact, we pray that the state of God's concealed face get a little less concealed. In fact, in the priestly blessings of the Berakos Kohanim, we say, Yor Hashem panav eilecha v'chunaka. May God's face be illuminated in front of us. Point is that we want to understand more of God's way in the world. We want to have a deeper appreciation of the way he presents himself in the world and the way his presence is manifested in this world. So we do pray for more light in the world. But in the meantime, I just want to share a nugget, and which to me, that when I learned of this nugget, this insight, it was very compelling. The interpretation of the way how God appears at different moments in our lives, and that is the last verse of the book of Exodus, the book of Sefer Shemos. It says as follows, Ki anan Hashem al Mishkan Yomam, God's cloud appeared on the Mishkan by day. And then it says, Ve'esh ti alayla bo, and a fire lit up the journey for the people at night. Le'eni kol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'aseim, wherever they traveled for the eyes of all of Israel. So what is the basic understanding of this verse? There was this structure called the Mishkan. The Mishkan was this temporary structure, the central house of worship that the Jews assembled and took apart as they traveled through the desert on the way to the land of Israel. And they had this spiritual protection that not only protected them from the spiritual elements, which weren't helpful, but from the physical elements, which weren't helpful, with this cloud of glory by day. And by night, they had this fire which illuminated the way for them and all their travels. That's the basic understanding of this verse. However, I saw this very compelling insight from the Nesiva Shalom, which I would like to share, and that is he interprets the Mishkan based on an earlier passage of the sages, the Jewish sages, not as a physical structure, but rather a person himself, meaning as follows. The Torah said earlier that God said to Moshe, you shall make for me a sanctuary, I will dwell among them. It doesn't say, I will dwell among it, or in it, rather, in the singular tense, rather among them in the plural tense. Even though there was just one sanctuary, the point says, say the rabbis, what does it mean, among them? Within each and every single person, there's this spark, there's this godly presence, which we interpret as the soul. The soul is the essence of every single person. God created us with this soul, with this mikdash, or this mishkan, this sanctuary of his presence in this world, and it's our challenge to identify that spark in our life and nurture it with spirituality, nurture it with doing good deeds, nurture it with prayer, nurture it with Torah study, nurture it with the thing that it needs to find its sustenance. But the core of every single person is the spark of God, and that is the soul. And that is what a mishkan is. God's presence rests within each and every one of us. And I know that may be challenging for some of us to internalize, because we always think about going to a certain place, going to a holy place, going to the Kotel, going to the Western Wall and praying there. And of course, there's a value in praying at a holy place where holy actions have occurred over the years. But the ultimate holy place is within each and every single person. There's an amazing story that illustrates this idea. Famous story with the Rebbe of Kutsk, the rabbi, a Hasidic rabbi who had many followers. This person came to him and said, "I want to, you know, sign up to be one of your followers." And he said, "What's your objective by becoming one of my followers?" And the man said, "Well, I want to become closer to God. I want you to teach me how to become close to God." And the rabbi said, "In that case, you have the wrong address. That's not what I'm here to do." He goes, "If that's not what you're here to do, then what do you do all day? Why do you have so many followers?" He said, "I help people find themselves. I help people find themselves." And which within every single person is that mikdash. How do we find that spark of God within ourselves? You know, we don't appreciate the platform for godliness that each and every one of us have. And that is what a mishkan means. So with that in mind, says the Nesiv Shalom, he interprets the verse as follows: Ki anan Hashem al hamishkan yomam, that the cloud of glory is on, God's cloud protects a person, meaning the mishkan, God's spark within each every single person by day. Day doesn't necessarily mean during daylight hours. In the literal sense, it also means in the figurative sense. When things are going great, the stock market is doing amazing, you know, restaurants are bursting with crowds, you know, there's optimism on the streets. That's what day means. And that's when we see God's presence over us. But when God's presence is concealed, when it's dark outside, how do we go ahead and feel God's presence at that point? So it continues the verse, V'eshtiyalaylabo, when things are dark, things are cloudy, when there's a difficult and challenging situation like we find ourselves in with this catastrophic pandemic, where do we see God's presence? And the answer is, God says at this point, I just want to let you know that I am with you. As King David wrote in Psalms and Tehillim, Gam ki elach begeitz al maves lo ira ki ate imadi. As though you walk in the valley of death, fear no evil, for you are with me. It doesn't say fear no evil because nothing bad will happen. Fear no evil because we're not alone. One of the greatest fears that we have is to be alone in life. God says, even when you are in difficult, challenging situations, I am there with you at night. I'm still there. I'm still there lighting up your path. The verse concludes by saying, in all of the travels, meaning in life, the Baal Shem Tov famously said, everybody goes through their 42 stops. Where did he get the number 42 from? It says in the Torah, in the end of the book of Bamidbar, the end of the book of Exodus, that there were 42 stops where the Jewish people traveled from Egypt to Israel. Why is it necessary to enumerate? They stopped here, they went there, they traveled here, they stopped there. So says the Baal Shem Tov that the point is that we all are going through a journey in life. We all have our own stops, so to speak. You know, we all were in preschool, and then we went to elementary school, and then middle school, and then high school. You know, we got this job and that position, and moved to this community, that community. We have our different stops in life. And sometimes we experience daytime, we experience blessings, we experience optimism, we experience nachas, we experience financial stability, and then we feel God's blessings in our life. And sometimes, there's difficulties, there's darkness, there's challenges, and there's a lot of confusion like we find ourselves in now. At that point, God says to us, I'm with you as well. But the common denominator, the thread that makes the whole fabric one unit, and that is that b'chol maaseim, in all our travels, we feel God's presence. So my friends, as we go ahead and we contemplate and we reflect what's going on in the world, and we try to reconcile the awful, catastrophic pandemic that's raging throughout the world, we try to reconcile that with a good and benevolent God. It's a challenge. No doubt it's a challenge, and our faith is being challenged. But let us remember this, that in every facet of life, Hashem tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, I'm with you. Let's hope that this period does not last too long. Let's continue to pray for all those who need prayers. And as the Torah ends off, or as we end off, we conclude with these words, when we finish the book of Shmos, or for that matter, any other of the books, any other Sfarim, we say, Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek, I say, be strong and be strong, continue to be strengthened, and let us emerge from this darkness. Let's continue to pray as the name of the podcast, Let There Be Light.